Shalom and good morning. We once again come to look into the Bible, into the word that is written for our living. And we are in the book of Ezra, chapter number 3, and we want to understand a very critical thing that happened in the rebuilding of the stronghold. We have always said that the stronghold that God commanded them to return to is basically made up by three implements or three things. One, it's made up by an altar, it's made up by the temple, it's made up by the walls. It means that these three, which were destroyed, were to be rebuilt when they return. And so we discover that the rebuilding of the temple has already begun. So in chapter 3, in chapter 2, as it was adding, we are reminded that when these people returned, the first thing they did was to offload, was to give free offerings for the build, for the rebuilding. It was not yet built, but they started by giving, because always giving precedes the rebuilding. And they gave as much as they could, free will. Nobody forced them. They did that because God had blessed them mightily. You see, when they were on the way coming, or just before they came, God had inspired or styled the people who are left to provide for this journey and to provide for the building. This building had been provided for, so they just gave because God had already listed to them. Then they settled in their own towns. Now here, we're told something very important, that when the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one man or as one person in Jerusalem. You see, people came exactly after seventh month. They gave themselves seventh month or 7 months. But as they came, they were guided by the spiritual leader and their civic leader. Joshua was the spiritual leader. Maybe you're wondering why in the Middle East that the people, even to this very day, they value spiritual leaders. Like the war that is going on in Iran, it was a spiritual leader who is also leading their nation. Because the Middle East believe in the spiritual leadership. Many countries don't understand that. But here, the spiritual leader was called Joshua, the priest, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, who was now the civic leader, it was like the governor of this place, began to build the altar of God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offering on it in accordance to what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Now, did you realize that the moment they started building, that very day, the Bible says that they started offering, or they started giving offerings. They did not wait until it is completed. As long as it began, that very day, that very first day, it's amazing that they did not wait until it was completed. And I was wondering, look at verses 8. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offering to the Lord, though the foundations of the Lord temple had not been laid. The temple foundation had not been laid, neither had they also maybe completed the altar, but they had just started. That very first day, they started to do the offering. Why? For 70 years, they had not given the sacrifices. They missed this. They knew that this was, they knew that a sacrifice is the giving to salvation. Sacrifice is the key thing to providence. Sacrifice, they knew the purpose of sacrifice, that even to this very day, it is through the sacrifice that we are able to reach out to God. But this is not about our own sacrifice per se. It is a sacrifice of Christ. Today, we know that God has sacrificed by giving us his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we are as a result of sacrifice. So our giving is as a result of God's giving. We give because he gave. We cannot outgive God. The Israelites were not giving anything that God had not given. So it's God who gives for us to give. So we are only giving back. But that spirit of sacrifice should be put in us. And so these people, they completed or they did the altar, the first part of the stronghold, and they began all form of sacrifices, burnt offering, free will offering. They are called the new moon offering, regular burnt offering, all of them, festival or tabernacle offering. All those, can you imagine, within this very day, they were offering all of them because they felt they missed it. But the Bible says, although they were surrounded by their enemies, look at that, despite their fear of the people around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offering on it to the Lord. Despite the fact that they were surrounded by the enemy, they knew that the sacrifice is also part of the battle, that they win through sacrifice. May God help us to understand the power of sacrifice that God has put in us. So they began doing that. The number two that began here, or the that followed, is the rebuilding of the foundation of the temple. Now we have this, they've done the first thing, and sacrifice have come and they have continued now, and it will continue until in the time Jesus comes, or until Jesus came, and it has continued even to this very day. I'm told that the sacrifice, until the sacrifice of Jesus was to be done, because those sacrifices prefigured, it was a typology, it was a type for the sacrifice that Jesus would give one day. So from there, they come to the rebuilding now of the temple, and they began by laying the foundation. So they went, they hired the mason, they hired the carpenters, they gave drink and food offerings, of foods and olive to the people who were of Sidon and Tyre, who were supposed to bring in the cedar from Lebanon to Joppa, as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, King Cyrus had already given this. He had said, let it be done, and he had paid for it. So, but here they were just paying for the people who were supposed to come and build. And so the timber were to come, so that the foundation will be able to start. So the second month of the second year. Now, I want you to see that now the temple foundation began the second month of the second year. Already 1 year is gone, because 1 year was done by settling and giving and the altar. But now here, the second year now, the second month, they began building the foundation. And they were also led by the Lubamel, son of Shaltiel, the civic leader, that's their governor, and Joshua, the spiritual leader, who is the priest, and the rest of his associates. They come together, the other Levites, and they came and they began work. And one thing that's coming up is that they are coming as one person. In other words, nobody is left behind, because they know the purpose of working together. So they appointed Levites, 20 years older, to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. And Joshua and his son and brothers. I want you to see now here, Joshua was able to motivate his sons, and all the other priests and Levites motivated their children, the sons, so that they come in. Those, they remember, this, many of them were born in captivity. They didn't know about it, so they had to teach them. And that's one thing that God expects, that we are the one to teach our children and to serve together with our sons and our daughters. So you people who are called, let's continue to empower children and we serve together. So they came together and joined, and they were supervising the work of the building. And the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, and everything that they were building, it was followed by praising. This was very critical, because every stone that was laid, there was what they call the praise. With the trumpets, the Levites, sons of Asaph, with cymbals or with cymbals, they took their place in the praise of the Lord. Now, this is the power of the praise and worship leader. And that's why somebody said that a church that is coming to an end is a church that does not have that does not have powerful praise and worship. And every pastor should take mandate in this to raise up a very powerful praise and worship, because they work together. So they came to praise the Lord as prescribed by David. And the praise, and the kind of praising is, imagine the building itself was a praise and worship adventure, that they laid the stone, and the kind of the praise and thanksgiving and songs, which one person would sing and another would say, "He is good," and they said, "His love toward Israel endures forever." You know, he has brought us back safely, for he is good. His love for Israel endures forever. The one who has helped us to start, rebuilding and destroyed our enemies. And in that kind of praising, they are laying the foundation in its praise. But when they were praising and shouting for joy, something unusual happened. The Bible says, but many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. Now, I want to finalize this session by talking about the crash, the intergenerational crash in worship. The older generation who had seen the former temple or the foundation, they were crying. They were mourning because they saw this was a small one. It was insignificant. They thought that this could not be able to bring the glory. They were held up by the older one, I mean, by the older things. They could always go back to the things they had done. Now, what they had done before was able to cover up what God was doing in the present. As much as it's good to mourn the loss, it's also good for us to be very careful that we don't miss the move of God today, because God moved yesterday, and his move yesterday does not move, he'll move the same way today. God is in charge and he moves in different ways. I think it would not be good for us to keep on comparing today and yesterday. Yes, we can take a cue and say we have come this far, but we should always be ready to see what God is doing right away. But this one odd, especially when they saw it. And you discover that when the prophets comes in, one of the things to be able to do was to encourage them, because they knew this, that the people are mourning about what they saw, and they'll be able to encourage them and tell them that this temple, the glory of the latter temple, will be more than the former one, because it's not about the structure per se. It's about the rule of God as God comes towards his coming. The temple was just a type, prefiguring the coming of Jesus. You see, remember when Jesus said that one's more bigger than a temple is here, when they were talking about Solomon, he said one bigger than a temple called Jesus. Jesus is the temple. The church becomes the temple of the Lord. And if we lose that and look at the structure itself, we look at the forms. And that's why the younger people, though they didn't also have anything to compare, they were celebrating and they were happy about it. And this is why we need to understand three things. What is the essence of worship? And what is the function of worship? And what are the forms of worship? Essence of the worship is when we say that we worship. We worship the way God wants us to worship. We are not worshiping, you know, the things that we can see. We worship God is the one who gets our worship. Worship is a response to what God has done. But why do we worship? We worship God because God want us to worship him. We worship God because he has done it for us. We worship God because he has already come, you know, he has already done. Some people say we worship God so that he can be able to do. But you see, we are worshiping God because God is in charge. But there are different forms of worship where people use the the physical, they bow down, they kneel, they lift hands. Now, one of the things I want to mention as I end here is that the reason why the new generation were rejoicing was not even because of the essence or the why they were worshiping. It is because of the forms. So both of them, it's good to rejoice, but they were worshiping because they saw something magnificent they have never known. But they had not known what worship is all about. So both of them will be encouraged and be taken by the prophets, and they'll be educated that we are not just motivated by the forms. Forms will be different, but we should have the same purpose and we should have the same essence. We will still go back to this one and understand more about worship, because they return to build a stronghold, and that is about worship. Father, we thank you. As we come back, strengthen us as we rebuild this. Though we are fearful of our enemies, and we know that rebuilding is a form of defeating our enemies in Jesus' name. Help us not to be lost in the forms of worship, but to know why we worship and what worship, true worship, is all about. And it's about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.